This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
And good evening, Turnbuckle Trash fans. RJ Salveson, Dave Denton. Happy holidays to one and all.
And happy Rusev Day to you.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Rusev Day.
Happy Gender Day.
No, happy Rusev Day. Every day is Rusev Day. I love Rusev Day. I want to live my life like Rusev.
$20 says he doesn't celebrate Christmas, so I bet Rusev Day really sucks.
But he's married to Lana. Later in the show, I actually have some of the audio from the 12 Days of Rusev.
Oh, dude.
From
no,
Clash of Champions.
Don't punish us.
Yes, I will. It was
don't
great.
Don't punish us.
I loved
we don't
it.
Deserve that.
I loved it.
Oh, no. Again, happy holidays, one and all. Dave Denton, Ajay Salveson. We're grateful to have you along. We're going to recap Clash of Champions. We're going to recap Raw. Today is Tuesday, December 19th. Of 2017, the final pay-per-view of the year has happened, and now we are on the road to WrestleMania.
Mania.
So excited. We have an historic event that's going to be happening, which we're excited about for the Divas. So much more to recap, talk about, so let's get right into it. Clash of the Champions 2017, the final pay-per-view events for the wrestling season, taking place at the Celtics Arena, TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts.
Right. Great crowd.
Great crowd.
Great crowd.
Deserved a better event.
I liked it. There was maybe two matches that I wasn't real thrilled with.
Okay.
But overall, I liked it.
We'd love to hear your opinions, wrestling.
No, I don't.
Dave doesn't care for the listeners.
I don't at all. That's why I work in radio.
I do care for the listeners. I can't wait. No, we'd love to hear your opinions. I mean, what did you think about... What was it called? Clash of Champions. What did you think about it? Did you like it? Hate it? Love it? Want it? Need it? Love to hear. TD Garden, Boston, Massachusetts was the host site for this Clash of Champions. Two kickoff show matches. First one was Mojo, who ends up beating Zack Ryder. By the way, Mojo Rawley. That guy in 5 years is going to be main eventing.
Oh, yeah.
You heard me.
He's a great talent.
He is incredible.
And he's, you know, they've been having him as a face, and then they broke up the Hype Bros. I think he's going to be a fantastic
heel.
I think he's going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I got him as a heel, too. He's a great trash talker.
Oh, yeah. He's got a great personality. You know? He's friends with Gronk and all that. So
he had Zack Ryder in the corner at one point, and he screamed at him, "Words for Killer Instinct." I love it. He's
love
good.
It.
We'll keep it short and sweet, but Mojo does get the win over Zack Ryder by the pinfall in the first and opening kickoff show match. Your kickoff show match again, Mojo Rawley does defeat Zack Ryder by pinfall. Opening match, I guess, to the main... I don't know what you call it, the main event show.
Yeah, it was.
What do you call that, by the way?
Because
the pre-show.
Yeah.
So I guess the pay-per-view is what you would call it.
Yeah,
then?
You call it the pay-per-view because at that point, when they're showing the pre-show, they're showing it on YouTube.
Yes.
And then they switch just to the pay-per-view, and unless you have the network or you're paying $50 just for the pay-per-view, then that's when that kicks in, and then it's no longer live on YouTube.
So in the pay-per-view match, or at least the opening kickoff pay-per-view match for the U.S. title, Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin, who is the current champion at this time, and Bobby Roode. Triple threat.
You forgot Dolph Ziggler.
I just said that.
Oh, I wasn't listening. Happy Rusev Day.
Obviously, you weren't listening.
Happy Rusev Day.
You weren't listening.
That's what I do.
This one really heated up late.
Yes, it did.
The This Is Awesome chance started kicking up kind of early, if I may say so myself. By the way, that Boston Faithful crowd, awesome.
Yes.
Really good crowd.
Boy, they gave a great pop to the glorious Bobby Roode when he came out with this theme song.
Sure.
I loved it.
Near falls and a late interference became kind of the routine of the match, if you will. I thought there was a pin by Roode on Ziggler. It was broken up by Corbin, pulling Roode out of the ring, and then behind, or at least from behind. And then in the end, Corbin's attempt for an end of days on Roode was simultaneously interrupted, and I mean rudely interrupted by Dolph Ziggler.
Rudely, Bobby Roode. Yeah, okay, there you go.
You like
but
that
it
pun?
Was Dolph Ziggler. I did. I liked it a lot.
A zigzag from Ziggler that ended up getting the pin, and I mean that was a great, great setup.
Wasn't that a? I mean the. Who would have thought it? I mean, anybody that follows professional wrestling, sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it, there's been so many rumors out about Dolph Ziggler not being happy with his role there.
Sure.
Not even re-signing with the WWE, and now he's the U.S. champion. Did they work out something? Is Dolph going to be there for a while? I hope so.
Yeah.
I think Dolph has got to be the top five performers in all of the WWE. He is, I think he's incredible.
So after the match, Corbin does cut a promo to Ziggler. He says, quote, "I didn't squander anything. I was cheated."
Yeah, end right. Quote,
before throwing a garbage can. So in a final time of 12 minutes and 45 seconds, Dolph Ziggler becomes the U.S. champ, beating former champ Baron Corbin and Bobby Roode via pinfall. And a very, very cute zigzag.
Here's the first of a couple of updates from SmackDown Live on Tuesday night. Dolph Ziggler came to the ring to celebrate his championship of the U.S. champion. He was cutting a very good promo as a heel, telling the audience that they didn't deserve to be near him. And then Dolph laid the title down in the ring. Is that going to be the last we see of Dolph Ziggler? Or is it part of the storyline? I can't figure this one out, guys.
And now back to our regular programming.
I thought, really, you know, I said that would probably steal the show, and it almost did.
Yep.
It came close to stealing the show for me. It was really good.
The match that you're referring to, I believe, that might have stole the show was this. The Tag Team Championship, it was a fatal four-way. The Usos, who are your current title holders, versus Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. Versus a New Day and, of course,
Rusev Day with Aiden English singing the 12 Days of Rusev.
12 months of Rusev. And Lana's leaping. 6 Machka kicks. Tag team title victory.
I told you not to play that. I didn't. Oh, it's so horrible.
I never listened to you. Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't even sing it right. Well, at least his American English sucks.
Oh, I started laughing out loud. And then you think about the pop that tag team got. There have been rumors about a face turn for Rusev. Mm-hmm. And the way that crowd reacted with chanting Rusev Day, Rusev Day, Rusev Day. And then singing along with the 12 Days of Rusev. I didn't think it would work, but I think it will now with the Rusev Day. There was even a YouTube video of probably about 15, 20 seconds of people going into the TD Waterhouse arena.
Yep.
And there was probably 100 people shouting, "Happy Rusev Day! Happy Rusev Day!" I love it.
What did you just call this arena?
TD Waterhouse, is that it? TD, what is it? The Boston Garden? No, that's old.
TD.
TD, Teresa Denton, my wife.
Wow, easy, easy.
What is it?
Oh, that's your wife.
What is it?
It's TD Garden.
But wasn't it named by TD Waterhouse?
I don't know, dude. It used to be the Boston Garden, then it was changed to TD Garden. You really just call it the TD Waterhouse?
Arena.
Oh, man.
Corporate naming just drives me crazy.
Oh, that was so good. That's a
the
drop.
Vivint Smart Home Arena, which used to be the Delta Center. What was it before that? Or between?
The Salt Lake Palace?
No.
Energy Solutions Arena?
Energy Solutions Arena.
Now it was Vivint Smart Home Arena.
Yeah, so it drives me crazy.
So in the Silver Dome,
the Silver Dome. Sorry.
You
channeled your inner Hulk Hogan there, didn't you?
That was fun, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
So as hectic and as messy as this match was, because there was four, sometimes even eight men in the ring, a lot of good spots brought to you by Gable. I thought Rusev brought in a couple of really good spots. Of course, the Usos, because of three failed rallies from the other three teams around, ended up benefiting through it all and get the win. I like the match. Is it your favorite match of the night?
I think my favorite match of the night, because I was surprised at how well Rusev and Aiden English did. And then also not surprised by Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, but probably my favorite spot of the night occurred in that match. Jimmy Uso was on the top rope in the turnbuckle.
Yep.
And Shelton Benjamin came out of nowhere as quick as a cat, climbed the corner, and then did a superplex on Jimmy Uso. Great, great spot. Loved it. And to me, that was the match of the night.
Jey Uso splash from the top of the rope, and in 12 minutes and 54 seconds, the Usos do get the win and retain their tag team championship with a win over Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, The New Day, and...
Rusev Day.
And Aiden English.
Aiden English. Happy Rusev Day.
Stop.
Eight Lana sleeping. I'm better than Aiden English.
This one turned out to be quite the disappointment. The Women's Championship. Charlotte Flair, your current champion, versus Natalya in a lumberjack match for the Women's Championship. I didn't like the match. Thought it was a mess. Thought there was too much going on. I thought the lumberjack stuff really hurt the match itself.
What hurt the match with the lumberjacks is they were all heels.
Yeah.
They were all heels in the Riot Squad and all that. Then watching it, in my notes, I was getting so tired of Corey Graves and what's the other dude's name?
I don't even remember.
Oh, yeah, you do. Corey Graves and his sidekick and they were arguing the whole time. Byron Saxton. He's so forgettable anyway.
Saxton.
And they were arguing back and forth. And it just was I would say the second most disappointing match of the night. There was one other one that I just hated.
We'll get that in just a moment. So Charlotte does catch down in a figure eight. Natalya does tap out. And in a total time of 10 minutes and 32 seconds.
And lots of interference.
Yeah. It's just a mess. I just wasn't a fan of it. Charlotte Flair gets the win over Natalya to retain her women's championship. And we will announce a very historic announcement given by Stephanie McMahon on Raw yesterday, Monday, December 18th.
Yeah, well, that'll be coming up a little bit later on.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so we have, and it really is exciting news for women's wrestling. Yeah.
The Bludgeon Brothers.
Oh, before that?
Yes.
Before you get into the Bludgeon Brothers, as Natty is walking out of the ring, she starts crying. Because cuts a promo and said everybody's against her.
But she's already a heel.
Crying in wrestling. Thank you, Tom Hanks.
Good.
There's no crying.
But she's already a heel. Yeah, so why would anybody like her already? That's what I don't get.
That it might be leading to her quitting or might be leading to her taking time off. I don't know.
By the way, have you got the WWE Diva Swimsuit Calendar yet?
No.
I'm sending it to you in the mail. Just don't let your wife see it.
Can I take it to the radio station?
You can do whatever you want with it. Well, okay.
No, almost.
Let's rephrase that. You can take it wherever you wish, but You're welcome.
Lana on there?
There's a lot on there.
And I told him this would be a family-friendly show. Because I have some other exciting news.
You gotta quit talking before. Okay.
Yes.
So the Bludgeon Brothers already attacked Breezango before the match really starts, and then they go in there and just finish it off. In a total time of 1 minute and 58 seconds, the Bludgeon Brothers win the match. There you go.
What a boring match.
It 1 minute bad. And 58 seconds.
I know they're trying to set up, you know, the big bad tag team, but come on, a squash match and a pay-per-view when you've had the Fashion Police getting such rave reviews and fan reaction? Bad.
Bad on the WWE. Bad, bad, bad. Santa's not going to bring you anything
except for my Divas calendar. We'll get that.
I hope your wife doesn't listen to this pod and find out you're getting a swimsuit calendar from me.
I hope your wife doesn't listen.
She can deal with it. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. If they lose, they're done. They face Randy Orton and Shinsuke
Nakamura.
There's a kicker to it. There's two referees, not one, but two. Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan. They kind of have this discussion before the match that, you know, it's got to be in sync because if anyone screws someone else over.
Yeah.
It
was a little much.
Yeah, just a little bit. But you know what? With the match itself, I thought McMahon and Bryan were really entertaining throughout it all.
Right, yeah.
Well,
the match itself, I like Kevin Owens and I like Sami Zayn's work in the ring. Kevin Owens has got such a big booming voice that you can hear him talking to the crowd, talking to the wrestlers, talking smack and all that. And he was talking to the Shane McMahon all the time. And I really liked the work of Randy Orton. There was one spot in there that I enjoyed with Shinsuke Nakamura, where Corey Graves is talking about Shinsuke, and he's kicking Kevin Owens in the chest and in the side and all that stuff. And he says, Nakamura's using Kevin Owens as a heavy bag. Like, you know, a boxing bag, and I was saying, no fat jokes here, Corey. I thought that was a good line, though. Not the joke. I mean, the line that Corey Graves used. I thought it was a good, very descriptive. I criticized them a lot during the women's match, but I thought they did a lot to sell this match as announcers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can give that.
Yeah.
Announcers can actually take a match a long way.
Yeah, they can.
Just ask guys like JR
mm-hmm.
and The King. McMahon and Bryan's counts were not even close to being in sync. They were playing favorites, which, of course, you had probably already figured out by now. So at one point, McMahon decides to draw this imaginary line, right? And he says, hey, you do one half, I'll cover the other half. Well, that's like two brothers trying to share a room in the size of a cell. It's just not going to work.
Right.
So go figure. It was a match that was kind of, I guess, as you said, I mean, there was a couple of bright spots. Definitely Orton hit one,
yeah.
I think. But, I mean, look, when Owens and Zayn's career is on the line, supposedly, quote-unquote, you know they're going to win.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know they're going to win.
I did like this spot between the two officials, Shane O'Mac and Daniel Bryan, when Shinsuke had the triangle on Kevin Owens.
Yes.
And then Kevin Owens kind of reversed it and actually had Shinsuke in a pinning predicament.
Yep.
And Daniel gets down and starts counting, which was what he was supposed to do. And then there's Shane saying, what are you doing? Because he's in the triangle. And Daniel's going, he was pinned. He was in the triangle. He was pinned. I liked it. But Shane came off as being a whiner. And I don't think he's a whiner.
I am.
But anyway.
The finish came when Zayn blocked an RKO and rolled up Orton, allowing Bryan to count a quick three.
Now, one, two, three.
Quick three was really, really quick. Why? Because in before, Shane McMahon, who was making a count, got bumped by Bryan, who got pushed.
Yeah.
And so Shane McMahon was upset, and then Shane McMahon was going to count a 3-2, give Owens a win.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped at two, and it obviously would have been three.
Right.
So then finally, when the roll-up happened, Bryan didn't even hesitate, didn't even think for a moment, just, we're done.
Yeah. One, two, three. I liked the match. You know, overall, I really did. I'm just not a big fan of Shinsuke Nakamura like a lot of people is.
In 21 minutes and 37 seconds, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defeat Randy Orton and Shinsuke
Nakamura
to retain their status in the roster.
And the yep movement lives on.
Yep.
Yep. I want one of those t-shirts.
I'm sure you do.
I do. I think I'm going to buy one.
See if we can find one your size.
Omar the Tent Maker.
Final match of the night. WWE Championship. AJ Styles versus Jinder Mahal.
and Lenny and Squiggy.
For a while, I think this feud had been growing stale. There wasn't really much of a storyline, wasn't much to build off of. Of course, the obviously reason that Styles was in is because he had won a match, and Jinder Mahal wanted Styles to win another one to be able to fight him again.
Right.
Jinder got what he want, but as you always know, be careful what you ask for. This was a good match. I was actually really impressed how well
I thought Jinder did great.
Yeah, well, and do you feel? I mean, people say, in fact, Bleacher Report says that Styles carried Jinder for some of the match. Totally disagree. Bleacher Report cannot be more wrong on that.
I think Jinder Mahal had his. I wrote down in my notes as I was watching it, the best match I've ever seen him wrestle.
Yeah,
he was a great heel. He did great spots, and I'm sure AJ's selling it, and AJ can lift people up because he's just that good. But I still think it was the best match I've ever seen Jinder Mahal in. I really did like the match a lot.
Finish came when Mahal tried to knock the Styles Clash finisher, but AJ reversed out of that and into a calf crusher, which was really weird because Jinder didn't even give like 3 seconds. He just tapped immediately.
Well, at first he was trying to get over to the rings, and then when AJ brought him back into the middle of the ring, that's when he tapped out. And yeah, it looked very painful, but hey, Jinder Mahal, hats off to you, man. I've been criticizing you on this podcast, since you became the champion. But hey, man, great, great show. I loved it. Loved it.
By the way, if you are wondering, you are correct. The Singh brothers did interfere, or at least tried to. AJ Styles took care of them pretty quickly.
Lenny and Squiggy. Shlemiel. Shlemazel. Hassanfeb.
This is a good road, good momentum for Styles and for Jinder, by the way.
Yeah.
Really impressed. So in a final time of 23 minutes and 4 seconds, AJ Styles retains his championship and defeats Jinder Mahal. So let's go through the recap one more time. In a attendance of 14,326 unofficially, in the pre-show match, Mojo Rawley defeats Zack Ryder. For the U.S. title, Dolph Ziggler defeats Baron Corbin and Bobby Roode. For the Tag Team Championship, the Usos get the win over Chad Gable, Shelton Benjamin, The New Day, and Rusev and Aiden English. In the Women's Championship, Charlotte Flair retains her title and defeats Natalya in a Lumberjack match. The Bludgeon Brothers easily take care of business against Breezango. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn get the win over Randy Orton and Shinsuke
Nakamura
to retain their status as SmackDown roster members. And in the WWE Championship, AJ Styles defeats Jinder Mahal to retain his title. Total match time in the ring is 1 hour and 29 minutes and 34 seconds.
Okay, this is Dave. I'm going to break in here for just a little bit because we did have a couple of updates that came in from SmackDown on Tuesday night, SmackDown Live. Daniel Bryant had a little explanation of why he counted the main event so fast. He told Shane McMahon he let it to protect Shane, because Shane was letting his personal feelings interfere with his work. Daniel Bryan said he did it to protect the vision of opportunities for everyone on the SmackDown Live roster. Now, Shane said that he respected Daniel, but to watch his back. Because when Owens and Zayn were through with him, you never know what's going to happen. That's the world of professional wrestling, guys. Daniel Bryan also had a little dig in there, where he says to Shane, he says, I wanted to make sure that Shane O'Mac doesn't turn into Mr. McMahon. And at that time, the crowd started shouting, who's your daddy? There was a great little bit, a tag team match between The New Day and Rusev Day. Backstage, with The New Day dressed like Big E, like the elf, you had the Gingerbread Boy, which was Kofi Kingston. And then you, of course, had Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which was Xavier Woods. So the New Day has been going around not with Booty-O cereal, but with pancakes for some reason. And out comes Rusev and Aiden English. Rusev is in a sleeveless Santa Claus costume, showing off his guns. And Aiden English is like a snowman. So they had a tag team battle in the ring with them all in costume. And there was a spot towards the end. You know, it was pretty funny stuff because you had the crowd chanting the Rusev Day. Then they were doing the New Day. And then right in the end of the match, it was Aiden English taking over and also Rusev. And they took the pancakes, put them on the announce desk, and started smothering them with whipped cream and then put a cherry on top. And they were going to put a red nose on Xavier Woods, but they reversed it, and it was the snowman with the red nose. Happy Rusev Day and Happy New Day, and of course, Merry Christmas.
And now back to our regular programming.
Coming back, Aftermath, and by the way, Raw was great. We got news and gossip coming up later. Vince McMahon might be bringing the balls back to football.
He hate me.
Turnbuckle Trash coming back.
Hey, MSR.
Yay, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that? What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No, no, no. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
On his feet, the stray cat. Is he ready? Let's go to the match, please.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 and do a little work on you.
Tag me, please.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
All the fans here, it's just two guys rolling around in spandex together, so.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
And welcome back to another segment of Turnbuckle Trash. Audrey Salves and Dave Dent. We just recapped for you Clash of Champions, which is, wow, hiccup, giving you plenty of momentum.
Been drinking much lately?
A lot of vodka. With no lime and an olive, shaken, not stirred. So Clash of Champions has plenty of momentum going into the 2018 year. How is Raw going to wrap up their year, and what do they got going into the 2018 year? Raw last night in Providence, Rhode Island, Dave, not bad.
Not bad at all. They started things off getting ready for the Royal Rumble at the end of January for the road to WrestleMania. I started Kurt Angle in the ring to announce who would face Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. Out comes Braun Strowman, then comes Kane, and then it was the best talker in the business, Paul Heyman, with the champ himself. Lesnar. And all three were in the ring. Kurt Angle starts acting like he's scared that he's going to get beat up by all three and announces very quickly that the Royal Rumble will be a triple threat for the Universal title with Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar, and Kane. I was scared too.
Like, you all know Brock Lesnar's going to win that match, right?
Yeah, they got to set up something for WrestleMania.
Yeah. So let's waste more of our time. Thank you, Kurt Angle.
Well, you know, Big Show has been very critical of the booking with Kane.
Sure.
And why they've been doing that.
I've been very critical of the booking with everybody.
Especially Kane, because he's an old man. You think he's an old man?
Yeah, yeah. Like, him and Shane McMahon just need to stop. Period. by the way, Seth Rollins, Jason Jordan, got to face each other. I'm starting to like Jason Jordan as a heel.
Yeah,
they need to keep him in that category.
I think it's going to be good.
Seth Rollins does get the win, by the way, over Jason Jordan. He continues his freaking roll of momentum. I mean, he is on a roll right now.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rollins does get a win via pinfall over Jason Jordan.
Well, that set up a match because Samoa Joe attacked both of them at the end, and that set up a later match, a 6-man tag match with The Bar, with Samoa Joe against The Shield, which was Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan, a 6-man tag match. Now, we're going to go ahead and say this. Dean Ambrose apparently has a pretty serious injury. He comes out with a big brace on his elbow. And later in the match, he fell out of the ring. They said he fell on it wrong and that he was beat up by the bar. And it was hurt earlier. But the news that I read on ESPN's wrestling page was that Dean is flying to Birmingham, Alabama, where they have a renowned surgeon who works on a lot of sports stars, a lot of wrestlers, and he's looking at his elbow to see how serious it is. And if it is a serious injury, it's going to mess up plans for WrestleMania.
Yeah, how would you... Well, I mean, they got plenty of time. I know it's not till April, but still, it's
if he can't compete, there goes the whole angle with the Shield. Unless they work him in as kind of being like a manager for the Shield. So then they also featured the debut of Hideo Itami on Monday Night Raw. Now, if you don't recognize Hideo Itami, he was one of the first signings when NXT started going onto the network. Hideo Itami was a huge star in New Japan Wrestling, and it was a big signing that made nationwide news in Japan. I mean, it was a big deal for Itami to leave to come to the United States. Shortly thereafter, he gets to NXT, he gets a very serious injury, and he's been out basically for a year and a half. He's come back recently to NXT. Now he's being called up basically for 205 Live, but he comes in and helps out Finn Balor against The Miz Taraj in a tag match. It was a two-on-one handicap match, and then Itami shows up. He is very good. Kind of like Shinsuke without the Flash. Shinsuke is the Michael Jackson wannabe. But during that match, Enzo Amore comes out right before the match and has Drew Gulak with him right before a match that's going to decide who he's going to face for the 205 Cruiserweight Championship. Enzo Amore comes out and he starts doing mic work like he always does. Amore compares himself to Star Wars and Gulak as his Padawan learner. I'm just reporting as it happened. Gulak says he is the Jar Jar Binks of professional wrestling. Gets no respect.
Jar Jar Binks.
I like Jar Jar
Binks. I thought he gets respect. He doesn't get respect.
I have a dancing Jar Jar Binks bank in the back room.
Man, I love Jar Jar. He's funny.
Yeah, I like Jar Jar Binks. I hated the Ewoks. Anyway, less Star Wars, more wrestling.
Of course he ate short things.
Mm-hmm.
They're cute.
I ain't saying nothing. That was funny, man. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
By all means. Here's a segment that you will really like from Monday Night Raw. Elias. Who wants to walk with Elias?
I don't want to freaking mention this guy's name after what he said.
He comes out and he's playing his guitar and he says... That he and Tom Brady, now remember he's in Rhode Island, that's right in Patriots country, and yes, you're a Patriots fan.
I am.
He says Tom Brady is a huge fan of Elias and listens to his music as he's getting ready for the next game, doing things like deflating balls and other shortcuts he can take. Crowd loved it. They booed all right. What about you, Mr. Tom Brady fan? What did you think of it? You're a Tom Brady fan.
How about you deflate your chobies?
I'm not saying anything. Okay.
Do you want your swimsuit calendar or not, Dave? You better start acting. Yep. You're on the naughty list right now.
I've always been on the naughty list.
Oh, that's so gross. Yeah. You're such a perv ball. All right, let's go.
Thank you. Here comes the big announcement. Are you ready for this?
So excited.
Yeah, at the end of Monday Night Raw, there was a six-woman tag match.
So excited.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, here comes Stephanie McMahon out.
Hello.
And she starts doing a great promo talking about the women's revolution from a couple of years ago.
Puppies.
They don't do that anymore. They're no longer divas. They're women competitors and women wrestlers. So there you go. Anyway, the big announcement was at the Royal Rumble.
Let's hear it.
The first time ever, a woman's Royal Rumble match. I love it.
I love it.
I think it's
going to be a lot of fun. And you know what? For Steph to maybe be able to make that announcement, I think it's really cool.
What I thought was really cool when Steph made that announcement was, you could see how pleased she was in her face. I mean, there's times when you can tell people are, you know, reading what they're supposed to say. But she talks about the fabulous moolah. She talks about Mae Young. She talks about the women in the ring and how they have just made such a big difference and how they've been headlining pay-per-views. And they were the last match on Monday Night Raw. You know, the women were. That doesn't happen in the last 10 years.
Yep.
But now women's wrestling at the forefront has improved so much. And you can say whoever did it. I mean, there's all kinds of women over the last 10 years that have improved wrestling so much for the women. And especially when they decided to drop the divas and make it, you know, more athletic and more storylines instead of just the nightgown matches and stuff, which I was a fan of. But still, it is, I think, a big step for women competitors, and I applaud it because I just think they deserve it.
Yeah, I think it's fun. And the goal is now that the women take that spotlight and run with it, which I think most of them will.
Oh, yeah, I have no doubt.
I think they'll do just fine. And like I said, I think it's just cool that Stephanie McMahon was the one to be able to announce it. I just think that's the coolest thing ever.
That was
she's
really
well
awesome.
Deserving to be able to have that opportunity.
And, you know, something else before we get into what we have up next, I wanted to plug that Bray Wyatt and the Woken Matt Hardy are getting ready for a big feud. They'll do something at the Royal Rumble too, I'm sure. Not the broken Matt Hardy, but the Woken Matt Hardy. And at the end of this podcast, we will have the broken Matt Hardy with his 12 days of deletion.
Yay.
Okay.
Hope someone poisons me by the end of this podcast.
I can work on that.
Great. Wonderful. Can't wait. Yay.
Yay.
Yay. Really exciting announcement from a sports standpoint. And when I say exciting, it's really, really, there's a pretty fine line between who hates it and who loves it.
Right.
Everybody remembers when the XFL made its appearance. Vic McMahon had brought it out, thought that the, he tore apart and shredded to pieces in a verbal press conference to open up the XFL, just ripped apart the NFL in itself.
The No Fun League is what he called it.
And at the point in time, the NFL was doing really, really well.
Uh-huh.
Jury, in fact, if you haven't watched a 30 for 30 documentary on the XFL,
it's good, isn't it?
You need to jump on that and watch it. It is phenomenal.
It is phenomenal, just like
really
AJ.
Really good. Just, yeah, there you go.
So tell us more about this.
Okay, so just so everybody knows, the XFL was this out-of-control, ECW-style football game.
Yeah.
The players had names on the back of their jerseys. There was cameras flying all over the field.
The most famous name was He Hate Me.
Yes.
Rod Smart, who went on to play for San Diego.
So they, and then, I mean, there's players fighting. You could hear swear words. It was just unbelievably artistic. But it was very, very, very much hated by a lot of people, including the NFL itself.
And Bob Costas.
Started off rated, yeah. Bob Costas hates a lot of things.
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
It's just a big head on short shoulders. So the XFL started off really hot.
Yes,
its first few weeks, it did really, really well. One of the top rated programs. Second to the NFL.
Right.
And then as time went on, it started to trail off, and so much I had it disbanded. Now comes back, there's been word, and now it's picked up a lot of steam coming for the 2018 year. Brad Shepard, this is great work by you, by the way, Dave. Brad Shepard reported late last Friday night that WWE Chairman Vince McMahon is considering reforming the XFL maybe as soon as January 25th, 2018. Darren Rovell on Twitter also said by the end of January, he thinks there will be an XFL announcement from Vince McMahon. Also, statements from David from Deadspin, who I love. By the way, Deadspin's always really good source.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole Manti Te'o thing with his dead girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
Deadspin caught that and rolled with it.
Oh, really?
It was awesome. It says that WWE clarified that it is not going back into the football business, but McMahon may well be doing that just on his own. A quote here, quote, Vince McMahon has established and is personally funding a separate entity from WWE Alpha Entertainment to explore investment opportunities across the sports and entertainment landscapes, including professional football. Mr. McMahon has nothing further to announce at this time, end quote.
So
that's because he's waiting till January to announce it.
That, you know, I don't know what to think of it. I think spring football has a place to be played in this country. People that want to compare it to the NFL, they're going to be just vastly disappointed because the quarterback play is not going to be as good. The kicking game is not going to be as good. But you can find good athletes that can't make it or don't make it in the NFL. So I think if it's done right and maybe, well, let's just say if it's done right and Vince McMahon plays down the wrestling aspect of it, the tie-in, that I think it does have a chance. Not much of a chance, but I think it has a chance.
I remember when I watched the XFL's opening game.
I did too.
And
it was at Sam Boyd Stadium, the Las Vegas Outlaws and San Francisco, wasn't it?
Yep. And my mom was pissed that I was watching it. The mom, it's not even wrestling. It's football. What are you so mad about?
Oh, they had nice looking cheerleaders. I'll tell you that.
February 3rd, 2001. Oh, man, those cheerleaders. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the New Jersey Hitman. That's the New York, New Jersey Hitman, not San Francisco.
I hope it comes back just to rick people off again. And it's going to upset Goodell. Because you know what? I mean, you watched the last Sunday's games. When I say last Sunday, you had the New England-Pittsburgh game where a guy caught a pass, reached for the end zone, and they said it wasn't a catch because he reached for the end zone.
Rip off.
Go Pats. You had Derek Carr for the Raiders to reach for the end zone, lost the ball, bounced out of bounds, and they said it was a Cowboy. There's just, and you know, we crossed the goal line. It was just so much going on that people hate the NFL. They're kind of sick of the whole rules and what's the catch, what's not the catch. You know what? In the XFL, if it's not a catch and they think it's a catch, they're going to deck the referee. That will solve all the problems.
That will solve all the problems. Yeah, the NFL has taken a hit this year. I mean, we talk professional wrestling, but the NFL ratings have been down. A lot of people are saying it's because of the protest. I don't know if it's that. I think there's just so many entertainment options out there.
So
now,
you printed off an outline for me here, and this is really, really good. I'm gonna kind of copy you off of this one. Forgive me, but so the highest attendance rated places were the San Francisco Demons, who had an 85% average field attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando Rage, which had a 67% attendance rating. And the lowest one, or at least one of the lowest ones here, Los Angeles Extreme. By the way, where the Los Angeles Chargers play, and no one shows up to their games right now.
Uh-huh.
Their attendance is horrible.
Isn't that the soccer stadium, too?
Yeah, absolutely. Memphis Grizzly fans hate basketball, I swear. They love wrestling, but hate basketball.
Uh-huh. But, you know, in the old United States Football League, Memphis led that league in attendance, along with Birmingham. But in the XFL, both of them were pretty low. They were
pretty low.
Yeah. I used to go to USFL games, by the way.
I hope they come back.
I don't have a problem with it.
All right, well, that's your XFL announcement. That's your Raw recap. Coming back, we're going to come back to news, rumors, gossip, and juicy juice. Dave Denton, AJ Salveson, you're listening to Turnbuckle Trash.
Now it's time to go to school.
You mean like wrestling?
Yeah.
It's sort of like wrestling, except they ain't mad.
It's called suspension of disbelief.
It's like wrestling for fun.
Like wrestling.
Nothing like that.
This is unbelievable.
Oh, Turnbuckle Trash fans, if you had to, I swear.
It's not nice to swear.
Well, it's going to be because
I'm going to tell your mom. She listens to me every morning on the radio.
Well, my mom does a lot of stupid things in her life that she hasn't apologized for yet.
Gee, thanks.
Turnbuckle Trash, Dave Denton, AJ Salveson. Hey, before we go any further, we got to first of all thank Geeks of the Industry podcast family.
Right.
Mr. Larry the Jack Jackson.
Yes.
Thank you for allowing us to be a part of you.
And MSR.
I don't always forget MSR. I just expect you to say it.
Yeah, that's right. MSR.
Okay,
yeah.
MSR, I don't forget you. It's just that Dave was supposed to announce the MSR. And he doesn't. He just tells me I forget it. I don't know why he does that.
I'm terrible.
Really, really getting sick of it.
And by the way, they have gotten us on Stitcher.
Oh,
we're on Stitcher now.
Let's get some stitches.
And also, hopefully
soon
we'll be on
iTunes.
So when we
get
hits
on Stitcher, do you say, hey, you got a stitch?
I don't know. I'm an old man. I'm not technologically.
I wonder if that's... Hey, you got stitches. You know?
Snitches get stitches.
And then, as you said, we're going to all be on iTunes.
Yeah, hopefully very soon.
Holy
we'll be
crap,
on
we're
going to
be on
yeah.
freaking iTunes.
Yeah, that's pretty
you
cool.
You can't suck anymore at this podcast anymore, please, Dave. You got to do better, okay?
I was only serious.
Work on that.
Okay, we'll do. And then some other big news about the podcast.
I love big, news.
Yeah. Thank you, Sir Mix-a-Lot. The big news is that the radio station I work for in Logan, Utah, it's owned by the Cache Valley Media Group. And there was a meeting a couple of months ago where they started talking about putting more things on the website. And it wasn't me that brought it up. It was actually some of my coworkers from a radio station called 94.5 VFX. And they're also available online. You can pick them up all the time. And they said, but Dave does this professional wrestling podcast, and it's really good. And then a lot of the people at the station that know about the podcast and have listened to it have been very complimentary of it, including a news talk station guy named Jason Williams.
I love J-Dub.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, I miss him so much.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
It hurts.
And he's going to be a part of our podcast here probably over the holidays. We're going to try to record a segment with Jason from For the People on KVNU.
I want
to
be there.
Oh, cool. We'll do that. We can get it worked out.
I love Jason Williams.
Yeah, he's a big wrestling fan. And he loves our podcast too. So.
Oh, he's such a good human being.
And but the story goes through this that I told the guys that I would love to have the podcast available on the website, cool1039.com. But I wanted to make sure that the ownership, the people that own the radio station, not me, I'm just an employee, we're okay with it. So finally, one of the Fransons that owned the radio station, Eric, listened, and he said it was very good. He listened to the Pooh episode where we talked about Winnie the Pooh.
Oh,
he loved it.
Did he really?
Yeah, he thought it was very well done.
Because I thought you really sucked in that one. I thought I had to carry
so
us the
much.
Whole
yeah,
way through.
You did, by
Kobe
the way.
Bryant right here. Brown Mamba.
But he said, yeah, you know what? It's well done. It's got great production value. And that's what they were looking for, something added to their to the Cool1039 website. And it will be available on cool1039.com. And so that's just another
I can't believe
for it.
So we're going to be on iTunes. We're going to be on Stitcher. Mm-hmm. We're going to be on cool1039.com.
Right.
We're going to be on...
On our own website.
We're going to be on CBS News. ABC well, Fox.
Hopefully,
the Disney Channel.
What's going to help
MTV.
Us do? No.
MTV 2.
More Tasteless
R&B.
Viewing. R&B. No. There we go.
BET.
There you go. Yeah. But
No, really. That's cool.
Yeah, it
so
is.
So thank
cool.
you so much to the Franson family and allowing us to be a part of that. Thank you to the Cash Flight Radio Network for suggesting us
yeah.
to be on there.
Yeah.
That's really neat. And I love 94.5 VFX. The great McCall, AJ McKnight, Kyle Jorgensen, incredible crew.
Right.
I'm not just saying that because of what they've done for us, but because of what the work they do for themselves.
They
and for
they
the
do
station.
A really good job. So, and I've learned something from
so
these
cool.
young guys too. You know, I really will say that.
Like me.
Yeah, I have. I mean, I really do. I do a blog post every day.
Oh, I love that, by the way.
And that's on the website. And then I'm going to do a blog post about our podcast. The first time that it's available on our website, it will be part of my blog, and I will put it onto Turnbuckle Trash also.
Cool.
Our Facebook page, and we'll also tweet it out. So
holy cow.
It should help us get some more interviews with some higher-end people. We have some stuff. Announcement real quick. Memphis Heat has contacted me.
Oh!
The director of Memphis Heat, the documentary, we're trying to set up something now for an interview. Hopefully, we'll have Marty the Moth Martinez back with
Marty's
us.
Oh, Marty's great.
And also the MK Bandit, who's working now with the people at House of Hardcore. Hopefully, we'll get that all worked out really soon. After the holidays, I think, when all this is going to work out for us. So.
Whew.
Good news, huh?
2018 year is going to be a bang.
We're gonna kick it, baby.
No, that's awesome. That's
yeah, it is.
I can no longer be bad at my job. Oh, man. That's a lot of...
Got to watch more wrestling.
Whoa, I watch plenty of wrestling.
Do you watch ROH?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
Do you watch Championship Wrestling
NXT,
from Hollywood?
Lucha NXT. Underground.
Oh, man, there's a lot of product out there now, isn't it?
It's awesome.
It's kind of hard to keep track of sometimes, but we do our best. And Final Battle, speaking of ROH, took place over the past weekend. We have a brand new champion in Ring of Honor Wrestling.
Okay.
Dalton Castle. Beats Cody for the title.
Oh.
I think a bit of an upset. So I'm kind of excited about that. Cody came out with bleach blonde hair. I don't know why, but he did. So we also have a new ROH World Television Champion. One of my favorites in ROH. The last real man in wrestling, Silas Young. I mean, this dude is cool. I mean, he's old school all the way. And he won in a Fatal 4-Way as he beat Punishment Martinez, who's also one of my favorites, for the title. So that's good news. Then, this is where I'm going to ask you to chime in. Jay Lethal beats Marty Scurll, the villain. Now, the whole thing before this, the setup to this, was Marty Scurll, the villain, was wanting to bring out the bad guy, the villain in Jay Lethal, because he used to be a heel.
Sure.
Jay kept on saying, no, he wouldn't do that. But guess how Jay Lethal won the match?
Pure guess. But I'm going to go Wachobies.
Yes, he kicked him right in
the Wachobies.
With all my might, I kicked him as hard as I could in his testicles.
Very much he kicked him right there. So Jay Lethal might be doing a little heel turn. Just don't know yet. So
he won via Wachobies?
He hit him with a low blow right in the Wachobies and then got the lethal injection for the win. It makes you kind of cringe. Just a little bit. If you don't know what the Wachobies are, just think about it.
No, don't think too much about it.
It'll be part of our best of that we'll have
there
on.
We go, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, the Young Bucks, along with Adam Page, were able to overcome Flip Gordon, Dragon Lee, and Titan to win their six-man tag team championship. There was a lot of really high-flying, lot of acrobatics in it. And actually, an independent wrestling Facebook page put the video up, and they asked fans to say whether all this really acrobatic stuff, I mean, we're talking flipping and just using each other for, to get the advantage and stuff. It was very acrobatic, not necessarily a lot of wrestling. They wondered if it was good for wrestling. I say it's entertainment. If it sells, they'll do more of it. If it doesn't sell, that's good. But I kind of liked it. The Young Bucks are a lot of fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
They are a lot of fun to watch. Then the Motor City Machine Guns retained their ROH World Tag Team Championship in a match against Best Friends. Are we friends?
Or are we best friends?
We're best friends.
We're best of friends.
And then they had the War Machine taking on the former tag team champions of the
Forever.
Addiction. Forever. The War Machine.
Doing so much fun things together. Sorry.
Where's that come from?
What? Are you serious?
Yes.
Come on, the cartoon movie?
The what?
Are you serious?
The what movie?
Oh, shame on you.
The what movie?
It's supposed to be a kid friend family thingamajigger podcast, and you don't know that movie?
What movie are we talking about, man?
We're the best of friends. Okay, you know what? Here's what I want you to do. If you're a listener and you listen to this podcast and you hear this segment, I want you to comment on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is, Stitchers, and tell Dave what that song and what movie that song is from.
It must have lost something in the translation.
We're the best of friends forever. Don't look at me in your face.
Don't look at me when I sing opera, okay?
Oh my gosh. No, okay, yeah, listeners, tell Dave what that song is from. I can't wait.
Please, no, don't do that. Okay, the best of friends. By the way, the War Machine is being rumored to move to NXT very soon. A great
really?
Tag team, a lot of fun. They're a big, burly guys.
Hey, do you
guys.
Think that's a promotion when you get moved to NXT?
If they combine with the WWE, yeah.
Okay.
But ROH is owned by Sinclair Broadcasting.
Okay.
Then it looks like the final match of Bully Ray's career took place at Final Battle.
Oh.
You know, he was seriously injured.
Yeah, absolutely.
Back in Las Vegas. Yes. And they were running a program with the Briscoes, the two brothers that were saying they wanted to get Bully back in the ring. Tommy Dreamer from House of Hardcore in the ECW days tag team with him. And a big, big, big battle took place. It was hardcore wrestling. They used lightsabers during the match. That was probably the fluorescent bulbs that looked at lightsabers, lots of foreign objects. The Briscoes pinned Bully Ray after hitting him with a 3D through a table. They had to do it twice because the table didn't break. And Bully, you know, he's pretty much told he can't wrestle anymore. So that looks like it's going to be the last of Bully Ray.
Oh, and that's sad.
Just a couple more notes from Ring of Honor. Brandi Rhodes, who is the wife of Cody Rhodes. Cody is going to be a part of the cast of the ETV show called WAGS, Wife and Girlfriends of Sports Stars, WAGS Atlanta. It should start January the 10th on ETV, the same people that bring you that fine show, Total Divas. And then the cleaner, Kenny Omega from New Japan Wrestling, who's getting ready for Wrestle Kingdom number 12 against Chris Jericho, remember? He made his TV debut, I think, maybe he's been there one other time, in an ROH match that was just shown on TV with the Young Bucks. They called themselves The Elite. The Elite. They did a little chant to it. So I don't know what that means for the Bullet Club at this time. So,
Okay. Any other news, gossip, or rumors, Dave?
Boy, do we have news, gossip, and rumors. You ready?
Let's do it.
Congratulations to The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Now has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
His movie Jumanji comes into theaters on Christmas Day. There was an Amazon promotion that had a pre-showing for that, and my niece, who lives in Billings, Montana, actually went to it. Said it's great. She loved that movie. So be looking for that Christmas Day. And speaking of movies, John Cena's animated movie Ferdinand the Bull is number two at the box office right now behind Star Wars,
Go
The
figure.
Last Jedi. Now, think of this. $220 million for The Last Jedi. Number two, Ferdinand, $13 million.
Good night.
Holy moly. Oh. That great? Yeah. We talked about Total Divas. Have you watched that any this season yet?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, I'm probably
excited
gonna have
to watch
start
The Miz, though, because I know The Miz being in it makes me really want to watch it with Maurice.
They promoted a segment that Total Divas would have Maurice with The Miz trying to convince The Miz to go vegetarian for at least 1 week, and he says he would do that if Maurice would eat part of his prime rib steak, and he had a big one out there. It looked good. And you know me, I am a member of PETA, by the way.
You're a member of a lot of things.
Yes, I am a member of PETA, the president of the local chapter, by the way, the People for the Eating of Tasty Animals. There's a story about KFC and PETA with me that...
No, we don't need it. Yeah.
Okay.
we want PETA coming after our podcast.
Yeah. You know, we talked a little bit about Mark Cuban. He is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA. Well, he is also the owner of a cable channel called AXS TV, AXS TV. And you can see an English version of New Japan Wrestling if you have access to AXS TV. And there's a big article on SI, Sports Illustrated Extra Mustard, that I just put onto our Turnbuckle Trash Facebook page, that if you are an NBA fan or a wrestling fan, you want to know more about New Japan, then that's going to be where you need to go. They're actually going to show some of the Wrestle Kingdom 12 matches over like a 5-week period on AXS. I don't have access to AXS TV. Do you?
No.
AXS TV.
I don't need AXS TV. I got plenty of TV already.
Yes, we do. So that's kind of interesting. And then, holy, you know what? Remember Home Alone?
Yeah,
the very good movie with Macaulay Culkin. It's
Malky
Daniel
Culkin.
Stern. Yeah. Macaulay Culkin was in that, and he's done some stuff in professional wrestling. He was on Raw one night, and then this past weekend he was part of an independent promotion. Where he took out a bucket full of golf balls and threw them into the ring, and the wrestlers started falling all over themselves. And then he had a little spot where he wrestled with Swoggle. Remember Swoggle, the former Hornswoggle?
This is just going to end really bad. Keep going.
Yeah, and he actually did a dive off the top rope right on top of Swoggle.
What did he call that dive?
What, the Home Alone move or something like that?
Oh, my good gosh.
I did put the video on our Turnbuckle Trash Facebook page. You can see that there, or you can go to YouTube and look it up.
Oh, yuck.
I just call them as I see them, and if I don't see them, I make them up.
There you go. That's how Dave does it. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, wrap this thing up, be done, get out of here, and move on with our lives. So, Dave Denton, Audrey Salveson, we'll come back and wrap it up. You're listening to Turnbuckle Trash.
Happy Rusev Day!
I said we're taking a break.
This is Turnbuckle Trash. Zane Peterson.
You're the greatest guy in the whole galaxy.
Yeah, I'm a real class act.
Now we'll get some action.
Ajay Salveson.
The juice is loose.
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 Dave Denton.
Man, he don't want no bread. He don't want no salad. All he want is meat.
It's time to take out the trash.
Let's show him what we got, guys.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Thank you so much, fans, for taking the time to listen to us. Dave Denton, Ajay Salveson, Zane Pearson, always along with us as well. So grateful to have you guys along for the 2017 year. It's been a blast. A lot of good pay-per-views, a lot of good wrestling. But we especially appreciate our listeners for making us who we are. If you want to listen to us and if you want to find us, you can find us on Facebook, at Turnbuckle Trash. You can find us on Twitter, with the handle being at Turnbuckle Trash. You can find us on Stitcher now, which is just mind-boggling to me right now.
Thanks to Geeks of the Industry.
And another thanks to the Geeks of the Industry with the fact that you will be able to find us on iTunes soon enough. We'll keep you updated. A big thanks to KVNU and Cashfly Radio Network, to the Francins, and to all of them for allowing us to have our podcast be on the Cool FM website.
Cool1039.com.
That's going to be awesome. I'm excited about that. Thanks to Jason Williams for his shout-out for our podcast. You can listen to him if you're in Cache Valley on 6:10 a.m. For the people, premiering at 5 o'clock at night.
And if you want to check out what we do here in Cache Valley, which is in northern Utah, we have cachevalleydaily.com that has links to all the radio stations, and you can listen to us, and we'd appreciate it. We think we have some fine-sounding radio stations that rival the big cities. I'm not kidding you. We have some really fine sounding radio stations.
Absolutely. Let's just go over the next couple pay-per-views to get you ready for the 18 year. January 27th of 2018, NXT TakeOver will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The next night on January 28th will be the Royal Rumble. And again, the Divas will have their historic first and annual Royal Rumble. February 25th will be in Las Vegas, Nevada for the Elimination Chamber, which will be hosted by Raw. SmackDown hosts their first event of the year in the 2018 extravaganza. March 11th will be in Columbus, Ohio for Fastlane. April 6th will be the NXT TakeOver in New Orleans, Louisiana. Two nights later, it is WrestleMania 34.
Not in the Pontiac Silverdome, though.
No,
it's
Silverdome.
In the Superdome. Okay.
The Superdome. Hulk Hogan, are you listening? It's the Superdome. Again, a special thanks to Dave Denton. A special thanks to Larry Jackson, to Geeks of the Industry. Yes, Dave, again,
one more.
The frick do you want?
I want to remind
people. Let's get
people,
done.
I am working on the best of 2017.
Oh, my gosh.
Which will have
some
of the things we've discussed, some of our weird things we've done, and discussing what has happened throughout the year in the world of professional wrestling. And 2017 was chock full of news. I mean, it had everything.
We'll have off-air stuff, which, by the way, I can tell you with all confidence right now that we never got off to a start on our paw without one of us screwing up or laughing. So, there you go. For Dave Dent, for Audrey Salveson, for Zane Pearson, for Larry Jackson, Geeks of the Industry, for Cash Valley Radio Network, I'm Ajay Salveson. You have been listening to Turnbuckle Trash. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy Rusev Day!
Swimming, 8 scribes are scribing,
yeah,
6 rockets glaring, 5 dilapidated bars, 4 twister fates, 3 check makes, 2 premonitions of our fate, and 1 brand new hearty offspring.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair,
woo!
Bad on the WWE. Bad, bad, bad.
Santa's not going to bring you anything except for my Divas calendar. We'll get that.
And we just recap for you Clash of Champions, which is... Wow, hiccup. Giving you plenty of momentum.
Been drinking much lately? Yeah, I like Jar Jar Binks. I hated the Ewoks. Anyway, more less Star Wars, more wrestling.
Of course he ate short things.
Mm-hmm.
They're cute. Are you serious?
The what movie?
Oh, shame on you.
The what movie?
It's supposed to be a kid friend family thingamajigger podcast, and you don't know that movie?
What movie are we talking about, man?
Well, the best of friends.
And now back to our regular programming.